we're coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I, anyone, try to put some on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. All right. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. You know, the scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Ladies and gentlemen, God is a good God. God is a good God, regardless of what you're going through. God is a good God. We are dealing, ladies and gentlemen, with death, particularly death around holiday time. Death is hard anytime, but particularly around holiday time, death is hard. If somebody die around the holiday times, that's hard. If somebody have died this year, and this is the first year that you're going to have Thanksgiving or Christmas without them, then death is, you know, the holiday times, it's going to be different. It's going to be hard. And one of the things that we're going to have to do more as ministers is preparing our people for death. Because, you know, it's like you used to hear folks used to say all the time, there's two things you can always be sure of here in America, and that's taxes and death. You're going to have to pay your taxes, and sooner or later you're going to have to deal with death, whether a family member death, a friend death, or even one day your own death. And so the thing about the Bible prepares us for every issue of life. But you gotta teach. You gotta teach. That's why you gotta teach through the whole Bible. You gotta teach the books of the Bible. Just don't teach a series. You know, a lot of times when I hear ministers talk about, hey, I'm preaching this series, and then the next, you know, for about 4 weeks they preach that series, then they preach 6 weeks on this series, and then they preach another. Just take a book of the Bible and preach through that, because when you take a book of the Bible and just preach through the whole book of that Bible, then you're going to deal with life. You're going to deal with marriage, you're going to deal with singleness, you're going to deal with death, you're going to deal with birth, you're going to deal with all of life. Yeah, so if you just take chapter by chapter and go through it, then you'll help your people deal with life. And one of the things I appreciate about Dr. Tony Evans is truly a man of God that who go through the books of the Bible. He preaches a series and things like that, but he's a very good theologian. He's a very good theologian, and he analyzes the problem, and then he can give you a good solution. And unfortunately, death has even invaded their family. He lost his niece back here in the summer, I think it was in July, when he lost his niece, and he had lost his brother earlier that year, this year. And so he has been really dealing with tragedy. Now, I don't know if which niece this was. I don't know if this was the brother who died. Was that that niece, or do we have another brother? And this was her niece, her daughter, his daughter that died. I really don't know. But all I know is that he's dealing with two deaths that was close to him this year. And we certainly want to pray for the Evans family. But Tony, Dr. Evans, is on stage there at his church. Priscilla is kind of hosting things, the daughter, Priscilla. And Jonathan, one of his sons, is on stage. And then Anthony, his other son, is on stage. And then he has another daughter, Crystal, is on stage. And we done heard Jonathan talk, and you can tell that Jonathan is really wrestling with this death, because that was their cousin, and all of them was close to her. They grew up together. And so get close to your radio and listen to this discussion, how the Evans family, how they discuss this faith and loss. Get close to your radio and listen.
That question of the why, and him just owning stuff, and you just have to just be there, just sit there. I tell my kids that sometimes. Yeah. So I kind of understand that. You don't need to know, just sit there. One thing that gives me hope is the fact that, you know, I'm a Christian. I know Winter's saved. I know she loved the Lord, so I know where she is. Jonathan Pitts came out, talked to his daughters, and said, you know, she's with Jesus now. Jesus has got her. That's better than anything that we can ask for.
So before we just move on to the next thing, I just wondered if you answered the question, but could you just speak to particularly mothers who might be in the room, who either through abortion or miscarriage or, a very young, just child death, very young, you know, and that thing can torture you, you know, as a woman. Could you just speak to women who may be here and that is their main concern and issue, and maybe get some freedom from that tonight?
Well, we know that abortion is a big issue today. The Bible is clear that there is life in the womb. So to attack the life that's in the womb is to attack what the Bible calls the image of God. There's a whole psalm, Psalm 139, that talks about the life that was in the womb and how God was stitching the life, the person. It talks about John the Baptist's mother, Elizabeth, when she ran into Mary, who was pregnant with Jesus, and how the baby leaped in the mother's womb. The baby leaped. Not an it, the baby leaped in the mother's womb, being in that close contact with Jesus. So the Bible is clear that there's life. So when you abort, you're taking a life. Of course, when you miscarriage, that's not taking it, but a life is lost. Since it is life, then that child immediately goes into eternity because it is life, even though you don't know the child yet. If you have aborted, well, that's a sin. You've taken a life. But it's not an unpardonable sin. And you go to God. Jesus even says, you know, if you wish somebody was dead, you're accused of murder. So you can kill in a lot of different ways. It was wrong. It was sinful. And what I told a couple not too long ago who came to me after years still grieving over this abortion that they agreed to have, that he paid for. We dealt with it spiritually, repented of the sin, and I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go in the sanctuary. I want you to sit down, and I want you to give your baby a name. I said, you don't know whether it was male or female, so give it a name that could be male or female. It could go either way. Give your baby a name. Thank the Lord for receiving your child into his hands and forgiving you for forgiving you. And now move forward as he told the woman and go and sin no more. So you don't have to be in bondage to that sin once you have addressed that sin and once you move forward now in righteousness.
This just goes back to the beginning a little bit, because I didn't necessarily know the way my dad grieves. His grief process is just to keep working. I didn't realize that. Mine is not that. I didn't get that part of my siblings, my dad, nothing. If I was not in this family, I would have been gone a long time ago, because this kind of stuff throws me way off. So when you're a person built like me, where you lose your cousin, you go hold her daughters, and you're full of rage because you cannot believe that this is what is happening. And it wasn't evil, like you were explaining evil earlier. Nothing evil happened to her. Like, her heart stopped. Like, and I feel like God allowed that to happen. When you're somebody who processes like me and doesn't go to Hope real quick, you're mad. How do you navigate that when you're not? I don't go to Hope quick. I'm just mad.
And you know what? I just wonder, because Anthony's willing to be honest like that, I just wonder how many people are in the room and you're in a posture of anger right now about something that's been allowed in your life to happen. Dad, look at all the hands that are going up. So how do we wrestle with that?
Two times already today I've had somebody in my office saying it's not fair. And one said, and I'm angry, because it's not fair. First of all, God allows anger. You can feel guilty because you're angry at God, okay? But God allows anger. He allows frustration. The three chapters of the book of Habakkuk is a frustrated, angry man. How could you allow this, God? So first of all, be angry respectfully, but it's okay to feel the pain of God disappointing you, okay? Because he did. I mean, you're disappointed with God. And God already knows how you feel, so hiding it doesn't make it disappear. So the first thing I would say is the first thing you do with that anger is you take it to him. And you say, I don't understand what you did. I don't understand why you did it. It's not fair. I am hurting. She loved you. Look at these four girls. I don't get it. That's one. Secondly, you've got to have the right theology of death. Because if you don't, death is only a negative. When in God's economy, it's not only a negative. In God's economy, he makes an astounding statement. He says, blessed is the Lord with the death of his saints. That is, he is excited to have winter with him. Now, we're not because of what is lost, but he's excited to have winter with him. But if you don't see that, then all you see is the bad part of death. And it is bad for us, okay? The other thing is that, combined with that, it's not over. Paul says in Philippians 1:23, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Immediately she goes there, so the body is rotting, but the soul is very much alive. So you do have to have an eternal perspective, because if all you see is time. So here's the lesson for us. We're working on a funeral, and Ecclesiastes 7 says, it is better to go to a funeral than a party, because only at a funeral do you take life seriously. It says at a party, with all the good times, you don't think about all this. At a funeral, you have to think about it. We have to think about it. We have to talk about it, because it's in front of us. And he says, it's better to do that than go to a party. Why? Because then you put life in its proper perspective. 70 years, Psalm 90 says, you you know, by reason of strength, you may make it to 80 years. Then it's over. So what does he say? Teach us to number our days. Make every day count, because this is short. This is short. I'll be 69 in a couple of months, and I don't know where all the time went. This is so short. So don't look at this as life. This is an introduction to life. This is not life. Okay, you get some good times in the introduction, you get some bad times in the introduction, but it's only an introduction. And if we keep that in mind while expressing our honesty to God, we keep the right perspective in our pain and in our tears.
And I don't, I think maybe sometimes watching you is kind of like, I don't have enough faith. Because it's basically your view, your theology, your belief, your understanding, your knowledge, and your wisdom. Just knowing that, and then you're able to continue to function at a high level. Should people who maybe have different personalities see it? Not that I don't have faith, I just have a different personality.
Well, I think it's, it may be a combination of the two. People would, just like people have different emotions, they react differently, people have different personalities. So they're gonna respond at different levels to different things. What Anthony was saying, how he doesn't do it like me, because he's different, he's more sensitive, I'm more driven, so he's gonna do it differently. So that's one. But remember what faith is, because a lot of times we're defining faith as a feeling, okay? But that's not, that's a feeling. And you can have the, you can have faith without the accompanying feeling. Your faith is demonstrated in your movement. So guess what? What? Jonathan Pitts was crying while he was praising.
Yeah, that's true.
So he had a faith of praise, even though a disappointment of circumstances. So most people have more faith than they think they have, but the emotions cloud whether it's faith or not. So don't mix the two, because sometimes the two are together and sometimes they're not. Because sometimes you have to trust God in the dark. It's pitch black, and you have to do like Paul and Silas, and you got to praise him at midnight when you're in chains. You know, so one way to exercise faith is to praise in the midst of your pain.
I'm glad you're my dad.
You're a pretty good dad. So, Dad, there is a question on here. And then what time are we supposed to be done, Dad? This is to be the last question, and then we're going to pray for a few things tonight. But just really quickly, Crystal kind of touched on it a little bit, but it's on the page, so I want to get to it. Just talk about why the Word of Faith movement is a little bit dangerous. Just because, again, trying to reconcile and balance believing God for the miraculous, but also trusting His sovereignty. So just how do we balance that? How would you encourage those who you're shepherding to balance a radical, outrageous faith in God to do big things, but also, you know, mellowing that out with the reality of God's sovereignty?
Well, unfortunately, many, not all, but many of the Word of Faith movement use the concept of faith to manipulate God. Okay, God cannot be manipulated. He does call us to believe. He tells us to grow in our faith. So we are to exercise faith, and I'll put it this way, in a sovereign God. So you're not exercising faith in a God you control, you're exercising a faith in a God who makes the final decision. But in exercising faith by our action, what we do is we invite God to do what He has willed to do. Because everything God wills to do, He doesn't automatically do. He does it when He sees our faith. So in God's sovereignty, some things He does because He decides, I'm just going to do it. Other things He does when we trust him to do it. You say, but I don't know which is which. Which is why you express faith and prayer in everything. So you don't miss out on the ones he plans to do.
Well, I hope y'all have been encouraged by our personal counseling session. We're going to pray for Dad, like I said a moment ago, but we're going to pray for you. If there's anybody in the room, we're going to pray for you first. If you're in the midst of a personal tragedy of your own, whether it's death, loss, or it's just a tragic accident or something that's really taking your faith for a ride, and honestly, you just need stability, you need the Lord to offer you an extra measure of comfort during this time and just need covering in your life right now because of something like this. Would you just stand if that's you? Just going to ask Dad to pray over you tonight. Just build up your faith and encourage you in him. Give you a peace that passes understanding. We want you to know we stand with you as a church. Stand up if that's you, okay? And Dad's going to pray for you. And then after that, we're going to all stand up, if that's okay, and surround Dad in prayer.
Dear Lord, for those who are standing because they're hurting, because they're disappointed, because they're angry, because they're afraid, be the lifter of their head. You said a bruised reed you would not break. They're already bruised. That's why they're standing. They don't want to break. Throughout the Bible, you say that you do things suddenly. You come out of nowhere. You just demonstrate your greater glory. We have chosen to trust you, even though to a large degree we do not understand you. And we come on behalf of our brothers and sisters in the name of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, and we ask that you will intervene in every situation as though it was the only situation, that you will treat them special individually in whatever the category of need is, and may you demonstrate your greater glory in their lives and give them a fresh reason to praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
And then, y'all, we're just going to let Dad just stand here. We're going to pray for you, Dad, if anybody wants to come forward or just be near. We're going to pray for our pastor tonight, our father, all of our father tonight. We're going to pray for him. Mom's coming up. Give her a second.
God, we are grateful for your presence. We are grateful for you. We are grateful for your faithfulness in our lives. Right now, we come to you asking that you would pour out your spirit on our dad and our mom. Continue to strengthen them as they carry, in some cases, weights that we don't understand and we never will. I pray, God, that you would give them a supernatural peace right now. I know that a loss is a loss. No matter how you deal with it or how it shows, it's a loss. And God, I pray that you will allow my father and my mother the opportunity to grieve in an appropriate way, so they're not holding things inside as they continue to work hard. I pray, God, that you would allow this to clear out of them, the loss that we've experienced as a family and as a church. And I pray, God, that the years that we have coming will be great and beyond what we could ever imagine. I pray, God, that you would put in them, again, a focus of what exactly you would want them to be doing right now, so there's not extra energy going in a bunch of different directions. We are grateful, God. I pray, Lord, that as a church, that we would understand the role that they have been entrusted with, and that we will be grateful that we get to sit under this kind of teaching and this support every week of our lives, twice a week. I pray, God, that we will never take that for granted. I pray, God, that you will reward them in their personal relationship with each other, that these years will be amazing years of connection with them. We, again, are grateful for you, and we know that you are a God. You are a faithful God who has intention even when our hearts are broken. And please show us that intention. And again, be a pour out a blessing on our on my mom and dad's lives, on our mom and dad's lives, and our pastor, and our pastor's wife. We are grateful for you tonight and what you're going to do. Purify all of our hearts in this room and take us out of here with a peace in our hearts with all these different situations that are represented here. We again are grateful for you, God. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Well, keep the Evans family in your prayers. And keep all of our bereaved family in your prayers. That's it for today. Thank you so kindly for joining us. Listen to us all day long because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.